The current spoiler warning level is crimson.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of crimson. We're talking about a couple of machines from Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway's Flash, the book series, and then its matching film adaptation, Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway. We talk a little bit of plot stuff from the first movie, which I think correlates to the first book, and then there shouldn't be any other spoilers. So if that's a spoiler to you, you know. Anyway, please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Mechanista in G. Narrative for Ka, huh? I'm Six Detmar.
Wait, narrative for Ka what?
There's been a leak that there will be a narrative Gundam for Ka.
Boring. I am no.
The narrative is a really boring Gundam.
It is. I mean, okay. The thing I fear with it too, right? There's one narrative form that I would be most okay with, and it's not going to be that. Because I am betting it's going to be the Type C. Right?
Do you think so?
Well, if it's the Type B, that would be better. Obviously, they're not doing the Type A, and I think the Type A would be the most interesting one to do, but they're not going to do that.
Yeah, they're not going to do Type A. I feel like B-PAX is the most popular.
You know what? That is fair. My brain just goes, the CPAC is the last one, so clearly it'll be what they do. But who knows?
I mean, I guess with a Verka, it's entirely possible they do both.
Yeah.
But.
I hope the leak is incorrect. But we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like the narrative Gundam has the components to be something cool. I just think what they ultimately did with it was really unambitious and boring.
Well, it's not like we don't know what a Verka would look like, because to be fair, before they had a guy doing the redesigns for the movie, the initial designs were already done by Katoki.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
True.
So it's not like it's going to be like anything too different from the designs he already did. It's like when you get like the Unicorn or Sinanju Verka, and my brain just goes, wait, Katoki's the one who made those. And he's not doing a redesign for the MGs either. Like, he's not doing anything significantly like departing from those. But whatever. Anyway. I'm not talking about that today, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So alright, Six. Die time. Roll.
Also, I think we already did the narrative, so it would be impossible for us to.
Oh, right. Well, whatever. We've done 2,000 plus units. I'm never going to remember them anymore.
Yeah, understandable.
What do we get?
Well, We only got an area to roll in so far, but I'm gonna roll it and we'll see if this is as funny as it might be.
Okay.
Okay, it's not.
Okay.
we haven't talked about the narrative, it seems like, and we did get late UC, so it was possible.
Okay. Oh.
Okay. Well, hold up here. I feel like we talked about the She Gundam, did we not?
She Gundam? Did we?
I don't know. This might just be one of those things where you and I did.
I think me and you may have. I don't think we've ever done it for Mechanista. Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. No, no response for RX-105, so.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm looking through and I don't see. Yeah, no.
You don't see?
I don't see. All right, well, see Gundam. This will be kind of a quick one, but, you know.
I mean, we should do this and Penelope, I suppose.
I think it'll still be quick, even if we include the Penelope.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll cover both. Okay, well, we rolled it, so let's talk about the hero of the movie. The RX-105C Gundam.
Gundam Hathaway.
Yep, from Gundam Hathaway. Well, we'll start off by talking about the anime design, and then we'll talk about redesigns later, just because that feels... Because they're the animated ones, it feels like the most sense to do it that way. But yeah. Alright. The Cassie Gundam appears in Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway, the film. The Cassie Gundam is a Gundam that was built by Anaheim and then given to Mafti, in a pretty cool scene where it is delivered to Earth from space, and they have to do, like, a fucking docking with a pod in space, and Hathaway has to, you know, get in there. And yeah, it's cool, it's huge. Let me talk about it. All right, so starting with the head of the Cassie Gundam, we have an absolutely gigantic forehead jewel with two horns going back like V fins. Now the V fins are an interesting shape, to say the least. They are sort of a double V fin, right? Because they do have two ends, but like the bottom end is very small in comparison, and then most of the V fin is the upper horn. It has a notch in the upper horn and the middle, and then at the end it has a small like extension. It very much looks like bug antenna or something like that, you know, like, or like a moth antenna. The forehead jewel, I should say, also, it does not have, like, a mohawk camera, so the forehead jewel kind of wraps around the top of the head, in an interesting way, that we don't normally get. The head itself, does still have a camera on the back of the head. Thing I realized I almost never bring up is camera on the back of the head, but I mean, most Gundams just have a camera on the back of the head. Just something I was thinking about also. The sides of the head, you've got, vents on the sides, that kind of, like, resemble a normal Gundam head, though they are pretty sharp at the bottom of the helmet. Then you get the cheeks of the Gundam, which are actually very sharp and extended, right? And they go, you know, far forward, and down. And those
Mandible-esque.
Also have, yeah, and they also have vents embedded in them. And then the actual face, you get a lot of, like, gray armor. And you get a very small bit of white, like, middle armor. And then actually, like, the chin is almost the same size as the face armor, but they're both kind of small relative to the rest of the face. And then you get really big eyes, which I also quite like. Like, very large. They're still shaped like, you know, you would expect, like, the two eyes on a Gundam to be shaped. They're just big. Next part, we have the chest. The chest is... Whew, a lot. So, the left and right side of the chest, pop up and go around, like, the neck, you know, so it has, like, a very, like, popped collar look, and they have, like, a little yellow piece embedded that has some, like, venting on the sides, and then the white armor wrapped around that extends forward and goes all the way down, ends at a point and with, like, two little subwings, and these go all the way down to, like, the waist armor. They have a set of yellow, almost gill-like vents underneath that are like where
clearly like heat radiators.
Yeah, and those are like where the proper Gundam chest vents would be, so that makes sense. It's just given this design, they're like weird and extended, and just because of that shape, they remind me of gills. Then the center chest piece is like almost a Gundam head unto itself. So you have like a central, like, little, almost could describe it as a fuselage of a piece that sticks forward, ends in what would appear to be, like, a forehead gem, right? Like, it's a red, like, hexagonal piece, has a V-fin on either side of it, and then has, like, the, what would be, like, the head vents on the sides of the chest, and then it even has, like, the mimic... It almost kind of mimics the shape of the cheeks here, too, by having another set of pointed areas. Though, rather than ending in points, they meet each other at the bottom. There's a...
To make a faux chin.
Yeah, and then it has, like, a little
red chin. It just doesn't have a face.
Yeah.
There's just nothing like a face in there.
And it even has, like, the gym-style bottom of the face vents on either side. It's ridiculous, and I love it. There's even a gag in the movie, and I love this gag, where the Penelope, when it catches the beam saber, the Cassie, you know, what's his name? Loser man. Lane, looks over, and at first he's staring at the chest because it has the V-fin, and the camera then just pans up to the head in after a, like, you know, a small beat, which I think is actually kind of a funny gag to include. Just because he's very confused by the shape of this. And it's so funny that Lane calls it the fake Gundam when it's the successor to the thing he's in. I just find that very funny.
Well, you know, it's a fake Gundam because it's not on the side of justice, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Underneath all of this, you can see that there is, like, blue torso pieces as well as the two red sections connecting into the waist. Basically, this is, like, there is the hint of a proper Gundam torso underneath all this. It's just that it has all this embedded armor. And unlike the Penelope, this armor is, like, very embedded, whereas on the Penelope, you know, it can remove the armor, is kind of the big difference. This doesn't really remove the armor. In the same kind of way. Alright, moving on to the shoulders. The shoulders, this is probably the most famous part for people who haven't seen the movie but have seen the design, because I always see if people call this design a Dorito, and that would be thanks to these shoulders, because you've got a front shoulder plate that is big and almost triangular. It does have, like, a little, you know, like, kind of, what would I even describe it as? It just has an extra edge, like, towards the middle of it, you know, on the outside bottom, but, like, it's basically a triangle for these shoulders, and, you know, the ends are not ending in points. They are rounded at the ends, with the bottom of the shoulders having these I believe those are just thrusters at the bottom on the outside. So that's the front. Oh, and also there's, like, in the middle of this big Dorito, you have a bit of armor jutting out at, like, the base where it's connecting into the, where, you know, where it's meeting the torso, that, towards the middle of the Dorito has a pair of, like, gray outward vents. Mostly it's panel lining detail on this, though. You know, you get lots of little nice lines, you get, like, little, trapezoidal shapes, like, in the form of, at the end of the, armor, you get, like, a little gray trapezoid, nearer to the tip of the top, etc. So, lots of that kind of detail. The reason I call it the front of the shoulder is there's a distinct, back as well, and then there is, like, a shoulder underneath, which I will describe as well. Not really, well, no, you can see it kind of on the wiki, if you look at the, flight form from below. Of course, that art is extremely small, so,
I'm just going to go stand up and go get my HG. One second.
Yeah. When Six is back, I will describe the middle of the shoulder. And then I'll have to describe the back.
Okay, I'm now well equipped.
Yep. All right, so then the central piece of the shoulder, before we, I have to also get into the back piece. The central piece is, in fact, just like a square, but it has an outward, kind of like a, it's like a thruster. It is, given that it has the yellow, but it's like a blue piece that just kind of, like, you know, is thin and goes out and has, like, a yellow thruster on the bottom of it, that sticks out of the shoulder.
Yeah, it can be a little misleading with this design because there are so many yellow, like, venting sections because this has a Manofsky flight system. And so, like, some of those are, like, heat exhaust and some of those are, like, Manofsky particle exhaust. And probably some of them are both, you know.
And then for the back of the shoulder, you then have another Dorito on the back, a larger Dorito. It goes further down. It also kind of has, like, multiple sections. So the towards the base of it, like, where it's meeting, like, towards the torso, you have, like, a bigger Dorito set on top of this Dorito that has a, has, like, a, you know, weird Manofsky thruster thing going on. Like, you've got a little scoop with a blue, lined thruster that has, like, you know, yellow and a little bit of gray on the base. Nice amount of color going on. And then that itself also has a bunch of these, like, gray venting pieces around it. And then the outermost part of the Dorito kind of resembles the front, just extended, basically. It even has the little gray trapezoid. And then towards the bottom, it has, like, this little, you know, other white cut of armor. And, again, a lot of panel lining. The insides of these, also, the insides of these parts are very, like, they're all gray, but they have a lot of detail. Because, as mentioned, this has a flight form, and the flight form makes the shoulders, like, the front armor pops directly forward, the back armor pops directly back. And then the backpack piece actually swings around. I'll talk about that when we get to the backpack. But these big Doritos, are, you know, they have a lot of this, like, gray inner detail on these that has mostly, like, what appear to be, like, little, like, just a bunch of squares, basically. It looks like it's trying to resemble, you know, also kind of, like, a bunch of, like, weird venting on the inside. Interesting thing also, when the back swings up, if I remember right, yes, when the back swings up, those, like, thrusters actually stay in place. You can see that it kind of, like, if you're looking at the flight form, you can see that, you know, the base of the Dorito stays pointing back there. Also, on the top of these shoulders, it's actually, I couldn't remember if it was on the back. No, they are on the middle, actually, sorry. You have the two beam sabers, two large beam sabers. These, I believe, can also operate as a beam cannon. So, yeah, they can operate as beam cannons as well. And they're, like, on, like, a weird swivel on the shoulder, so they can, like, point every which way. Alright, now for the actual arm, the bicep area, you've got a very simple square at the top, actually, for all of this design's detail. Simple square armor for the upper armor. Then you get a very nice, visible, like, double joint. I like that it has this design, and it has, like, your usual Gundam, the circle with the line through it. The Kotoki and Mika Akitaka special. The forearms are gigantic, though. You've got these gigantic forearms that you would assume is, like, extra armor, but here's the thing. You look at the hands at the end, and it has gigantic hands, so it's not really just, like, extra armor. It's just got big forearms.
Yeah.
So the big forearms, lots of little, like, nice panel-y detail, lots of these little, like, you get little triangles, like, at all the, like, edges and the corners, which are nice. On the outer part of this forearm guard, you have this, like, big conical piece that goes up, and points up far enough that it almost actually, like, meets that shoulder thruster.
It is this sweeping shape that, like, resembles a lot of, like, binders and stuff, but smaller, right? It's kind of like, to me, it kind of evokes the Vertigo a bit.
Mm-hmm. And that has, like, these hexagons on the outside, and then you also have on the inside these little, like, these, like, missile tubes, right, on the inside. These are where, I can't remember if these are funnel missiles in here, or if these are normal
missiles. Those are the triple missiles. They're no regular missiles.
Yeah, they're regular missiles. Because here's the thing, in the film, well, because this is the problem, right, when you're reading the novel, it just uses missiles and funnel missiles interchangeably. And it turns out in the film, oh, it doesn't even use the funnel missiles in the film yet. It uses the triple, it fires just a barrage of dumb missiles in the film. For the one scene we see it.
Well, dumb missiles a little. They're not actually dumb missiles.
Well, they do have, like, rudimentary tracking.
Right. They have, like, the kind of tracking we have on missiles these days. But, you know, they're not psychically guided. So.
Yeah, they're not able, well, they don't have, like, the distinct funnel missile shape where they are able to, like, you know, rotate and just change, like, you know, trajectory on a whim.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
But I do love these, like, weird, like, this weird armor there. And as I mentioned, there is, the hands are huge. It has white armored fingers rather than your usual, like, gray fingers. And you've got, like, big blue pieces at, like, the back of the hand. And they're very, like, embedded into the arm in a way that looks cool. I love these arms. Oh,
they're very cool.
One little detail I forgot to mention on the bicep, you do have a visible piston on the inner part of the bicep going into the upper shoulder, which is pretty cool. Just extra detail. So it's not as plain as I mentioned, actually. I love this guy's arms a lot. I think these are really cool. Moving on to the waist, the front skirt armor, you've got this very pointy skirt armor. It's got many edged, lots of panel lining detail. Again, you have these little cuts at the outer, like, front of the armor that look nice. These side skirts, they have a very interesting shape. The side skirts are shaped almost like a shield shape or something. They're neat. They're not your usual side skirt shape. You know, they have like this, they have a good shape to them, and they just kind of remind me of like being like little shields, basically. No detail on them really, other than panel lining. You don't have like thrusters or anything visible.
I think along with the Penelope, you like there's very much the vibe of these machines is that they are expected to do a lot of things alone, right? And so they are like very, I guess, medium armor, right? It's like they are clearly armored up, but also clearly there is an effort to make sure it doesn't slow them down much.
Yeah. And then the rear skirt, same shape as the front skirt, though it does have some little thruster vanes at the very bottom of them. And then also the front center area is the same as the back center, basically, where you have got this, like, little dip with, like, gray armor in it, and then you've got some gray armor at the bottom. I believe the back resembles that, though it's hard to see on the art because, well, the wings cover that. But yeah, similar shapes, though, from the front and back, very, like, for the front skirts and the back skirts and the crotch and the back of it. Then for the legs, kind of plain upper thighs, all things considered. You know, you get some nice panel lining on them, though, and they have these, like, little square details on the outside that are, like, you know, basically more panel lining. It's just squares instead of lines. Very big joint. The joint has visible cables on the back of the leg, which I love. I love the way these look, like these two big cables. No texture on them, sadly, but I mean, they haven't really done a lot of textured cables since, like, you know, the Mark II, basically. So, yeah. But it has that look. Then you've got for the legs, huge knees, and these knees are actually the same kind of like weird fluted conical design that the arm pieces have, which also there are missiles in them. And then it has the hexagons on the front, which look really cool. You've got for the sides of the legs, you have these very like Alex style thrusters on the outside, like, you know, these big thrusters that also have like a little wing at the base of them. The wing itself is able to pop down. The wing is normally like held up and, you know, vertical with the leg, but then it is able to pop down and be like outward, like an actual wing. You get more of these hexagons on the sides of the legs. I believe all these hexagonal ports are where the funnel missiles are going to launch out of, whenever it uses them. Because can't really think of anywhere else it's going to come out of.
I'm not sure. I mean, like, looking at the, like the screenshot of it firing the triple missiles, the ports on the leg are open. But I guess that's the backside. I guess
yeah,
that's the
no, backside that's, of it. Yeah, that's the back.
It's flipping down. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. This will be funny when we talk about the novel version of this design, because what does what is a hotly contested thing on this thing. And every video game has depicted it differently, it turns out.
Apparently, according to the manual, the funnel missiles are in the rear skirt.
Really? Okay.
That's what the manual says.
So. Okay. Huh. Interesting. And then on the inner part of the calf, you also have, like, a smaller set of, side of the calf thrusters. That one actually resembles the Alex's thrusters even more, only the thruster style, instead of being, like, the embedded thrusters, it has, like, those same kind of design as, like, the shoulder one I mentioned has, like, where you've got these, like, flat yellow, you know, pieces that kind of like go down more. On the back of the leg, you get some cool gray armor that has like this kind of like jagged almost like, or not jagged, these like mechanical teeth like designs going around it, right? Like the zigzag. That ends in a conventional vernier, which is so weird considering how much of this design is not conventional thrusters, to just have these like conventional verniers at the end.
Yeah.
Then for the legs, you've got very big feet that are...
You know what? I think the reason it probably has those conventional verniers down there is because the way Monoski Craft, like, moves, you need this for a jump.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense. The feet are huge. The feet are so huge that... Okay, so you've got, like, a front top of the foot armor that is... actually, like, a darker gray, kind of like the same color as the joints and whatnot. Then you've got, like, the blue, you know, feet armor. The feet armor have their own built-in, like, ankle guards that are, like, you know, going back. These little blue wings swept back on the feet. Very tall feet, kind of pointy. You've got these little yellow embedded parts on the toe. You've got a separate heel. The heel doesn't really have much on other than just, like, you know, outer detail. Does it have thrusters on the bottom of the feet? You have the high grade. You can check that.
No, it doesn't, actually.
Okay, I just remember if it was flat. Okay. And then finally, the backpack. The backpack of this unit is a... If I remember right, does it have a conventional vernier on the back, like, middle? Like, in the middle of the back?
Has a double, yeah.
Yeah, it has, like, two... Are they vertically stacked?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Completely covered up in the art, by the way. So I couldn't remember, but... Yeah, so you've got, like, in the center, you have this blue, little area with a, it's got blue armor on the top, like, a double stack of verniers. And then connected to either side of this, you've got a blue, like, wing that ends in, like, a, you know, thruster, same kind of style of all the thrusters, only, you know...
Yeah, a Madovsky thruster, yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got a set of, embedded between, sandwiched between this, like, blue armor with, like, the double set of, Madovsky thrusters, you have a wing on either side, and it's got, like, a little small wing at the top that has, like, a little bit of yellow at the end of it, and then you've got a larger wing that's pointing down by default. These wings, when it is in the flight mode, fold, like, out and then to the side, like, you know, that way it, like, kind of is, like, well, plane wings, almost. Though they don't, though they don't extend all the way out like plane wings, they're more, they tend to be sticking backwards.
Yeah, swept backwards, yeah.
Other details about the flight mode are that the, on the legs, the feet, just kind of, like, point downward, like, the toes go downward. Cool-looking flight mode, actually, I think.
It looks like when they're pointing downward, there's an intake on the top of the foot, like, where, close to where it connects to the ankle.
Yeah, I can see that.
Again, small picture, but I think that's what's happening there.
And then you've got, the way the heel... I love the way the heel goes, too, because it is just, like, a completely separate piece. Like, you've got this, like, little opening, because the heel also folds down. It's very strange-looking, but kind of cool. Which is... I mean, I guess that's the Kasi Gundam, right? Strange-looking, but kind of cool, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
I love this thing, and I love its, like, weird tricolor layout of being mostly white, only with, like, the blue on the pants and, like, the shoulders.
But the way the white is broken up is so smart that it makes it not seem monotonous.
Yeah, it doesn't feel plain to me. It just...
I wish there was any in-universe explanation given for what they've done with the chest. Because I do think it looks cool, but it also... It doesn't actually make sense as a thing to do unless you give me a reason. I would like a reason. And I know it's annoying that I'm like this, but...
I mean, they might explain it. I was actually gonna say, though, one of the things it can do, we know, is also, it does, like, have to activate a bunch of, like, weird barriers to do the Minovsky flight stuff. So my assumption would be that that's built into the chest. Because the chest shape does remind me of things like the XS and whatnot that have, like, the eye field in the chest. So that's maybe why it has that.
Okay, alright. That makes sense. And also... I didn't realize that about the eye fields. That makes sense, because I was going to say, like, the stats on this thing say that it can hit over Mach 2,
yeah,
which is the fastest that any fighter on Earth can currently go. And given how incredibly un-aerodynamic this thing is, I'm like, this must have thrust like a motherfucker. But if you've got barriers that would that like sort of make it aerodynamic through force fields, it's like, okay, all right, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. This is a ridiculous machine, and I do love it, though. It is huge. The head is... Okay, the head height is 26 meters, which means, I guess it's like not like huge, huge, necessarily, at first when you see that height, but then you realize the width of this lad, mm-hmm, and everything, and it just... This is a big motherfucker. This is kind of like, it feels like it would be, in fact, like a one-man army machine. Armaments, there, it has a beam rifle, it has a pretty cool beam rifle that has a, it has this nice green colored beam, and it's just a neat looking beam rifle. It's just kind of a chunky beam rifle, fits the design aesthetic of the, Cassie itself.
It has, you know, like sweeping shapes and stuff in that same way.
I do like that the barrel shape is very much just like the classic Gundam beam rifle barrel, going on.
But big.
Yeah, just big. You know, it has a big orange scope also. But yeah. Other things it has are, it has the beam sabers on the shoulders.
Nice big beam sabers. Apparently they can do double bladed, which I didn't it does that at one point in the movie and I didn't notice.
Yep. And, I think the bottom one is maybe not quite as long, because it even mentions the high new, or the new comparison here.
I mean, judging by, you know, it's could be a trick of perspective, but it does look like the bottom one, as you say, is shorter.
Yeah, like, it's like a parrying blade, basically, at the bottom, just in case. We have the triple missiles and the, knees and the arms, and we even know how many it has, because, the one guy in the movie is holding the equipment loadout of the Cassie Gundam, and it does have...
Well, that's not...
Oh, wait?
That's a cargo invoice.
Oh, right.
It also says they have 3 rifles, so that's how many they have in stock.
Yes, it's not so holding, it's not 84 actually holding those. Okay. Mafti. Oh, and to be fair to the wiki, it just says Mafti possesses 84 of them. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm
no,
curious.
They do it right on the wiki.
Yeah. How many do they? Because it definitely fires more than one out of each tube, I think, in the film. Well, actually, does it? Maybe it only fires 12 actually in the film.
I mean, I think it fires one volley and then a second volley that splashes Lane.
Right. In a really cool scene, because Lane's, like, in the fucking Penelope trying to fly away, and the missiles... He's, like, trying to shoot them out of the sky, and he can't get all of them, so then they just start crashing into him. I love that scene. I know a lot of people don't like that fight because of it happening at night. I think it looks so cool, though, when you have all the, like, flashes of, like, the explosions and stuff.
I think it's...
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just saying, and then you get the Penelope crashing into the ocean in this really cool way after all the missiles are just kind of hitting it one at a time.
And, I mean, the fight is, like blocking and everything, like, the way it's composed, it's a fight that is about, like, how confusing and scary it is to fight the Gundam. Like, in theory, Lane isn't an equal machine. I mean, you know, like, not even in theory. The Penelope may be, like, slightly inferior as far as I think the way things are integrated in the Cassie is more impressive. But they should be able to fight on equal footing. Lane is not up to the task, and he's not up to fighting a Gundam pilot. And he's just, like, overwhelmed and scared.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, he's not scared. He should be, and he doesn't know enough to be scared.
Yeah, he should be scared, because when he starts getting hit by the missiles, his reaction is almost, like, dumbfounded. Like, wait, I'm losing? But I'm in the Gundam. Like, he's, like, confused rather than even scared. It's very... He thinks he's a Gundam boy. He really thinks he is the Gundam boy. So when he loses, he's very confused as to what happened. Then, moving on, there are the funnel missiles. Now, we haven't seen how these are going to be deployed in the films. It does mention here that 10 missiles could be equipped on the back of the rear skirts. The other thing, though, is if you look at the equipment manifest, it does, if I remember, it does mention weapon container times 3. That's something that'll come up when we talk about the novel design. Now, it might not use the same design as the novel, because again, two more films to go, but we will talk about that. Yeah, and then Mafti has 80 of these total for the funnel missiles.
In fact, I guess I suspect it won't use the same thing,
yeah,
because they're going to want to sell a new kit for every movie.
Well, that's the thing, though, right? Is one of my feelings is the reason it starts off with this paint job and everything is I feel like it's going to maybe start getting some of the elements of the, not the novel design, but like, the weapon container actually is not just from the novel. It uses that on the G-Gen version as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that I think they're going to start, like, maybe turning the Gundam into is the G-Gen version. With, like, the
I think that's true,
stuff.
But that's a two-step process, and they're going to figure out a way to make it a three-step process.
You know what? That is fair. Though they did mention something in the manual that's very interesting with this machine, where it mentions... Oh, no, wait, no, I'm thinking of the Penelope that has the weird manual thing, right, where it mentions that there's another flight unit.
Huh.
We'll talk okay. about that. Something in the manual that is just there, and it's like, wait a minute. What the hell? But yeah. Yeah, so the Kasi Gundam. I forgot to mention, it does have a shield. The shield seems to be pretty good, considering it is able to tank a shot from the big cannons on the Penelope without, like, you know, it piercing through and hitting the Kasi. It still destroys the shield, but hey, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're blocking, you know, an extremely high-power Gundam beam rifle.
Yep. Yeah, I like this machine a lot, though. I love the... When they revealed that it looked like this for Hathaway, I was so happy, because I actually do not like the G-Gen version very much. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But as it is shown in the film, this is a cool Gundam, in my opinion.
I think it's fantastic. I am a little, like... I wish the shield looks like it should have functionalities, right? It's, like, mm-hmm. a fairly intricate design.
It almost looks like the new shield's, like, got a coat on it, right? Like, the base of it looks like the new shield, but then you get this, like, outer coat that has all these, like, little vents and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and so it feels like it should have some special thing it can do, and I'm a little disappointed it doesn't have that. But, like, yeah, just looking at this design, I just think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I do love that... When you're looking at, like, the Mafti equipment manifest, it makes sense, like, what they loaded onto all the equipment they were able to recover. But, like it has so many fucking energy packs for this beam rifle. It has 30 extra E-packs. But I guess that makes sense, right? Because the E-pack for the rifle is much smaller than the other stuff. So it's probably easier to load a whole bunch of those into, like, this emergency drop of equipment that they had to pick up. And it sucks for them because they have to fucking dig it out of the ocean because the Penelope, you know, fires on the pod there.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find interesting because, yeah, the pod is, you know, dropping from orbit and then, you know, he breaks out of it. And then we see them, if I remember right, this is where we get the really funny scene of, like, the messers, like, hanging on the bottom of the sub-flight units, like, being lowered basically in order to grab the little, like, crates and whatnot. It's pretty cool. But yeah, cool machine though. Gets a really good outing in the movie. I'm excited to see more of it, and obviously its other forms that it's going to have, because there's no way it's not going to have, like, other equipment, because you're not going to sell all if there was no other equipment, there would not be a single model kit for the second and third movie, because if we're going off, like, the novel's ideas, we've seen everything. So there's no way they're not going to change that.
I mean, yeah, I expect a new Xi, probably a new Penelope, and then I also expect new Grunts.
Yeah, well, they already have set the precedent with, hey, what if the Messer had, like, different equipment, like, you know, units? And not only that, but then they also had to make a whole new Gustav Karl for this movie because they didn't want to use the unicorn Gustav Karl, so they made a new version of the Gustav Karl for the movie already. And then, I don't think it's going to get a kit, actually, just because it's such a... It definitely feels like one of those background units that won't. You even get in the film, like, the Jigen with the fucking gun emplacement for shooting at civilians.
I fully expect that to get a P-Bandai at some point. This movie was popular.
You know what? That is fair. So, Moving on, so the wiki does have, like, two articles for this. It has the main, and then it has the HF, which is, like, the novel and, like, game version. Like, it's basically, before the movie happened, this is the old article. When the movie happened and just had its own thing going on, they were like, fuck, what do we do? Because if we combine this all into one article, it's gonna be confusing. So they did the tabs, which, honestly, probably the best idea. I wish they actually did this on more suits, if I'm being honest. Because, yeah. Anyway, so on the HF tab, the main novel design is pretty similar, actually. So, it'll be fun to talk about with the Penelope, because the Penelope definitely resembles the SD Gundam G-Gen design. This, in my opinion, the Cassie resembles a lot more of the novel design. The novel mainly has different proportions, because, why am I spacing on the guy's name who made this? Hold on. See Gundam MHQ novel.
It says Yasuhiro Moriki?
Oh, yeah, Yasuhiro Moriki. Right, yeah, Moriki. I was like, I know it starts with an M, and he's the guy who works on, like, Zero Rimer. And,
so he does the novel, and also he does the G-Gen.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
Okay, that's what...
The G-Gen is Kazumi Fujita. I do know that.
Okay. All right. Wiki's wrong. Makes sense.
Yep, I was gonna say, because, yeah, the Kasi Gundam for the, other versions, I do know for a fact that is, Kazumi Fujita, who is from, like, you know, Zeta and stuff.
No, that makes perfect sense looking at this thing. That's why I, sorry, spoiler, that's why I dislike it.
Really? Well, I like his art better than Katoki's art, actually, because if you look at the GFF art, that's Katoki's art for this version.
Yeah, I don't, well, I don't know. Maybe we'll get to this in a second. I feel like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I like that you can see that the GFF is the bridge to the modern design, and so I appreciate that about it. I do think the GFF looks bad.
Yeah. Well, like, okay, so the novel design, pretty similar to the final, and I think even the colors are, because, like, if you look, so there are covers and whatnot where it is colored blue, you know, on the original design, but it's generally black and white on the original design. And then, like, one of the things that, like, throws into question for me is this particular cover. It looks like the chest isn't, like, any more blue than the head or anything, right? Like,
right.
That's the thing. This is a fan coloration here, and I'm like, that actually doesn't really track, because in Mariki's art there, I think the chest would be darker, right? Is the thing. If it was supposed to be, like, that darker blue.
Yeah.
So I think the fan coloration of this is actually wrong. I think that, Mariki intended for this to have weird tricolor, but, like, just the weird blocking for it. But anyway, yeah, the novel design mainly adds a couple of little things. It has, like, an extra little vent on the, front chest armor. It's a little bit more, I would say, extreme in some elements. Funnily enough, some elements from the SD Gundam G-Gen version get added to the future design still, because if you look at, like, the knees and the arms on the original novel art, they don't have, like, those hexagons or anything, and they're more hollow on the inside. So, while this, the novel design is mostly similar to the movie design, there are some elements of the G-Gen version and the GFF that get carried over as well. It's just, mostly it's the novel design is what they're going off of. So, there's the G-Gen design. The G-Gen design was basically them being like, Fujita, you do a bunch of little designs for us every now and then. Hey, these are really hard to animate for a video game, and we don't have enough references. Can you please, like, I don't know, do something? And he's like, okay, I guess. And he kind of adapts it. You know, simplifies a lot of the detail. It still has overall the same shapes going on, right? You've got the Dorito shoulders, you've got that, you know, middle center shoulder thruster, you've got the, like, a lot of similar parts. He adds the hexagons to the knees and the arms that are carried through all the way forward to the modern design. He also gives it, I like this coloration a bit more than the GFF one also, because he gives it the double Zeta, like, mint green armor instead of the white.
I just always hate the mint green. I just think it always looks bad.
I always like it. So I can see why you would dislike this. Okay. I understand.
I also think it looks too squat. But I mean, I guess it's supposed to be SD, right? So fair enough.
Well, it's not. That's not the SD design, but it is concept art for an SD game. So, you know.
Right.
The chest. I will say one thing, so the novel version does have the V fin on the chest. The G Gen and GFF versions omit that. It does still have like the forehead jewel, but it just doesn't have like the yellow V fin on the chest. Which, to be fair, I'm betting one of the reasons why is because he went, huh? When you're making the video game sprite, there's no way you're going to be able to draw that on this anyway, on like a PS on a, you know, PS1 era sprite. So, you know, so yeah, it's similar, just simplified. And then of course, in my opinion, there's the GFF version, which is Kotoki's version for like the toy lines, for, you know, the GFF specifically Gundam Fixed Figuration, which is the most boring of all worlds in my opinion. Because what Kotoki does to the design further is he makes the face a normal Gundam face. It doesn't have the big eyes. It has way more... Because even, like, the G-Gen version still has, like, the big eyes and, like, a weird, like, face that's more embedded. The GFF version normalizes it a lot. It makes the cheeks less pointy, makes the face look like a normal Gundam face. It has, you know, smaller eyes. Adds head Vulcans, weirdly, now that I look at it, because... Oh, the G-Gen, yeah. No, the G-Gen version doesn't. It just has vents. Huh. The GFF just, he adds head Vulcans, okay.
Yeah, he makes the proportions very, like, traditional, like, it's more slimmed down,
I think. Well, look at, like, the hands and stuff. The hands are just normal Gundam hands. They're not, like, the big hands anymore. This is why, like, I have such a resentment for the GFF, is because I feel like it got more boring over time. And then, ironically, here's the thing, Kotoki does the movie design also. So
there's sort of two different ways that I feel like I wonder if this went right. There's,
I mean,
there's,
he was probably told to do it for the toy, right?
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's the generous thing that is also probably true, is that he was probably told, hey, like, you need to have these kinds of hands for the toy. These are the kinds of hands you need to have. This kind of frame for the toy. This is the kind of frame we make for these toys, yeah. Right? Fixed Figuration has some limits, but the other possibility is that when they gave him the design for the movie, he was about to walk out the door, and they said, Kotoki, don't be a coward this time.
I feel like that, no, they would want him to be a coward. They would, there's no way Bandai would. Here's the thing, Kotoki has a lot of, like, creativity to him. Look at, like, the Devil Gundam and the S Gundam and all that. I feel like for a long time, though, it was specifically probably Bandai being like, hey, we need you to normalize this. Which, sure, is funny, because the SD Gundam G-Gen was already them telling a guy to normalize it, and then they had him do another normalization pass, basically, is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I think the GFF is my least favorite of them.
If the GFF was all that existed, though, I would still like this design.
I used to always be a Penelope is cooler than the Cassie, and then the movie made me flip, which is funny. The movie completely flipped my opinion on it. Just because I like that movie design so much. Anyway, with this, if you go into the, references on the wiki, the little references at the bottom, so, here's where we can see some of the things. This is for the G-Gen version. This is all the line art, because he actually did a lot of line art for the G-Gen version. One of the things is you can see the micro-missile container.
Mm-hmm.
It is attached to the tail. Very evidently, it's attached into the top of the tail, where there's, like, the hollow bit, you know, which is present on the, modern design. And then this, tail unit is basically just a big binder that has some thrusters at the end, like, four of them. And it has an extra foot, which I love. Like, it even is designed to look like the, same shape as, like, the toe on the Cassie. Which I just think is very funny.
Yeah.
And then it has a shit ton of hexagons on the sides, and these are for micro missiles. So here's the thing. On the old design, or on the G-Gen design, it never had normal missiles. Whenever it fired missiles, it was always the funnel missiles. And then the time it had normal missiles is from this, normally.
Hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah. You can see the funnel missiles in the skirt, though. You can, in fact, see that the skirt does have funnel missiles if you look at the bottom left of that page. Now, here's the weird thing, right? That's the skirt, but that's, like, It's funny, because that means... Let me see if... Do we have rear art of the GFF? Yes, we do. Oh, yeah, he does design the rear skirt differently. That's funny, actually. Okay, he actually has, like, a big hexagonal piece on the top of it. Interesting. So, you can see the rear skirt having the funnel missiles there, the little ports. And he even has, like, a little side cutaway to show how they're fit in there. And the funnel missiles... didn't really talk about their design. They're like a double-ended cone, basically, with like the middle kind of like pushed in. They're basically designed so they can like flip or change trajectories on a whim. That's like the major thing that they can do. It can like decide it needs to reverse its direction or whatever as necessary. The shield design from the G-Gen version, you know, carries forward. Let's see. Is there any other additional... No, there's not really any additional art. It's basically, you get a lot of art of that weapon container. Fun thing about that weapon container, I will say, though, is that the weapon container did not have modern art for a long time. This art actually didn't pop up until in the Mobile Suit Perfect Files. So, like, in the mid-2010s. And then you get even more art here, actually, that wasn't in there. I guess it is, actually, that the arms and legs on the G-Gen version are still supposed to be missile pods, and they are designed to do the same thing as the movie. Though, actually, unlike the movie, they actually have a hinge, which is kind of cool. You can see it in the middle there. And I guess they aren't labeled as normal missiles. They just, I'm pretty sure, playing old G-Gen games, they didn't actually let it fire those. Which, I mean, you know, this has a lot of weapons. You can see that, it mentions the Mega Beam Cannons. So, here's the thing. If you look at the, design from the movie, at the base of the shoulders, you see those little circles that I refer to as thrusters? Those in the, old designs are Mega Beam Cannons. Now, we don't know if that's going to be the case here. This is the thing. On this design. Because it's not mentioned in the manual. And it doesn't use them in the film. And obviously, if you look at Mariki's design, there's no way those are Mega Beam Cannons, because there's no barrel at the end, it's just shoulder armor. Again, this is a very funny unit, because it was originally designed for a novel, I think Mariki just kind of kept it vague, because, you know, it's writing.
Sure.
And then, Fujita had to figure out, well, where do I put all of these weapons that are, like, mentioned in various parts? And, then the movie is like, okay, now, Fujita gave it all these weapons... Now what do we do? Because, see, sometimes, like, in video games, very frequently, the Mega Beam Cannons will be shown also being fired out of the ends of the beam sabers when they are plugged into the shoulder.
Sure.
Like, I believe the Extreme Versus intro does that. So, yeah, basically, what I'm saying is, figuring out where the weapons are is hard on this thing. And I'm kind of glad we have the movie, because now I feel less, like, it's less necessary for me to try to figure it out here. One other thing that is not mentioned on the wiki, but but that it has in a video game, so I need to mention it. Okay, I'm gonna open up the game and double check. Because it might only be the Penelope that has this. Penelope doesn't have this in the film, though. The elusive sand barrels, though. We talked about them on the Gaia Gear episode. Here's the thing. Yes. The Gaia Gear stuff is not actually the first appearance of the sand barrels being mentioned. They appear... in, like, several games, and I don't know about the novels, because I haven't, you know, read through them. I know that, there's, like, a translation of the first two volumes now. But, I still haven't read them. I'm just kind of waiting for the film. Let me check if in Gundam Battle Universe, though, if the sand barrels are also on the Kasi, because I can't remember. Let me see. Where is it? I know I have them both. Okay, the sand barrels are not on the Kasi in this game. They are, though, on the Penelope, and we'll see if they get mentioned on the wiki, because if not, I need to talk about them, because this is the game where they are flak shotguns, and I love it. Anyway. Alright. Well, yeah. That's the Kasi, I think, right? Again, there's, like, we talked about basically everything it has, and how there's, like, a lot of weirdness between the versions, so, you know. The Kasi, though, yeah, embedded flight unit. What do I mean by embedded? Well, now we have to move to the Penelope, and the Penelope is not an embedded flight unit in the same way. So let me pull up the Penelope Gundam. All right. So
I'm not gonna go get my Penelope. I don't like moving that thing.
Yeah, no. I love that I have a model kit of it. I do not enjoy moving it very much though, because it is heavy. Compared to the Cassie is not like the Cassie is like still comfy feeling. The Penelope is like, oh, this is a brick, even in high grade form.
Yeah, I think we should start out
with the Odysseus.
By discussing with the Odysseus. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. That's completely fair. All right. So the Odysseus Gundam. Because that is the actual Gundam, too. The Penelope is not called the Penelope Gundam, unlike what I said. It is actually just called the Penelope. There's no Gundam in its name, which actually makes Layname's comments also funny. But anyway, the core of it, though, is the Odysseus Gundam. And the Odysseus is pretty cool. So, just even on its own, I think. So, for the head, you have a tall Mohawk camera. Not like Zaft tall, but still pretty tall. And you've got a double V-fin that is, like, a V-fin that has... It's the V-fin with the growths on it, right? Like, it's a normal V-fin sticking out of the sides, and then you've got two horns pointing upward, like, in the middle of those horns. You've got, like... The face is much more flat. Like, it doesn't have... Like, other than the V-fin and the Mohawk, it doesn't have, like, the chin and the cheeks sticking out the same way.
And, it looks kind of statuesque.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say the way the cheeks and there's like some armor under the chin. Yeah, it's very statuesque. It does have more of a normal Gundam face in there. You know, it's your two face vent, tears going down the eyes. Does have red eyes though. Also has a red chin. The red chin though has, as I mentioned, a chin guard around it, which kind of adds to this whole like almost compressed feeling of the head going on. Back of the head does not have like a back of the head camera Mohawk. The Mohawk is only, you know, front of the head camera. And it actually wraps all the way around, which I guess feels like it fits because it does look kind of like a Trojan helmet or something in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the way it goes like all the way. All right. Then, moving on, for the torso, we've got a pretty standard Gundam torso in shape overall. There's some weirdness where it connects to the arms, but we'll talk about that. So you've got, like, basically a torso with a lot of these little hexagonal details, which I like. You've got
I think it works here partially because this is a new design, but it does make me think of the, like, Yokohama factory, where it just looks like a whole lot of extra details added to a torso.
Yeah. You got chest vents. It's the vents that are like the vents that need a manually open style, like where they're closed by default. Get a really large red cockpit hatch that has like a bit of like armor at the bottom of it in a weird way, like the way the blue armor wraps around at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got two torso segments that are in white, very square. You also have under the sides, you get like that like classic area of putting a thruster on the underside of like the torso on either side, which is kind of interesting. It's got that
armpit
little
hair.
Cut. Yeah. Speaking of armpits, the way the arms connect, you have this really large gray piece that actually connects the arms in a way where the arms are like pushed up, like it's got like an extended joint, like almost like a joint you would expect for like an Ara Battler or something rather than a Gundam, but. The reason why is because this needs to pull out so that you can equip the Penelope unit. The arms are similar in design to the Sea Gundam overall. Like, you've got, like, the square, you know, shoulder with a thruster on the outside, though it's a much more conventional thruster. It's like a, you know, red square thruster.
Mm-hmm.
Simple upper arms that are just kind of, like, squared with, you know, little details on the edges. Like, it's got the little bevels. Same kind of double joint on the arm, same joint piece with the, you know, up and down, or the circle with the little line going through it. The forearms are kind of chunky in a weird way, mostly because these forearms are meant to always have these shields on them. And I guess I'll just talk about them because they are embedded rather than, like, actually held equipment. So the Penelope would have a hard time swapping equipment because of all the parts on it. So, one of the smart ideas they have for it is a composite weapon unit, which, as you know, I tend to like these, going off AOZ, right? It is a shield that has a, it has a megaparticle cannon on the front. It has the beam saber on the back. And then it, has, it also has, like, little, like, the little blue doors, open up to be, like, little missile. They oh, are, I believe, standard missile containers. Yeah.
I don't think I realized that.
Yep. It doesn't do it on the kit is why. Because the Penelope kit has a lot of weird shit on it, to be fair. We'll talk about that. The Penelope kit, I think, was made a little too early, into the movie.
Mm.
Well, it has a different flight mode than in the movie. We'll talk about it. It can't do the cool thing from the movie that I like. And I think part of that is because it came out a whole year before the fucking movie was out.
Well, don't worry. Once you get the RG, then you'll,
Yeah, well...
Your hands will cry.
Alright. For the front skirt, or you have a crotch piece that is, like, very plain. It's almost all white. It does have, like, a detail level, like, of, like, this, like, little, has, like, this little paved area on the front, but, like, that, like, is, you know, going in, but it doesn't have, like, a Federation V or anything. It's just all white.
Mm-hmm.
Which should be for the Odysseus is all plain because it's going to put more parts over it, and it is... This is not really made to be a standalone Gundam, you know? It can, but that doesn't mean it should, because you're not going to get a lot of mobility out of this guy without the other parts, which feels kind of funny to say.
This is kind of the stamen.
Yeah. I was argued that in some ways the stamen is more complete than this too, because this doesn't even have like a proper like backpack and stuff in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. That's fair.
So the side skirts are kind of like new Gundam style side skirts, like in shape, is what they remind me of, just with like less color on them. The rear skirts are huge because that is not added by the Penelope pack. It does just have its huge like rear skirt. Partial flight units on the back, so that's fun.
And they are, I assume, on subarms. It looks like,
yeah, they are able to like fold around and move around and such. The upper thighs. Now, this guy has a unique shape for the upper thighs. It's got like, how do I even describe it? It's like if you had a column in the middle, and then you put on the front, back, and sides of the column like this, like little it's like a triangle, basically, if you're looking at it from the side, right? Like these weird armor pieces. It's interesting.
The effect is like two intersecting diamonds. It's a cool look.
Yeah, no, I actually really like the thighs here. Then for the back of the leg, you actually have a very similar joint to the Cassie, though it has to have a different inner frame because it just has like, you know, the back of the leg is just like a little simple gray piece there. That probably opens into a thruster because that looks like a door. Of course, we don't see the Odysseus ever operating in the film on its own, ever. So, for the knees, you have kind of tall knees, not as tall as the Cassie Gundam. They have, like, little gray thrusters embedded. And then the sides of the legs have these little thrusters that resemble the inner calf ones on the Cassie, but a bit smaller. And it's the same on both sides. Then for the feet, Well, you get some embedded, like, ankle armor on the bottoms of these, like bottom of the legs. And then the feet are all white, and they are just kind of long toes and big heel. The outer bit of ankle armor also has this, like, weird little, like, sort of hinge thing. This is, like, kind of an extra toe when it's, like, in the Penelope mode for, like, when it's standing. It doesn't really have much use in the Odysseus mode. But it's supposed to be, like, an extra way to, like, layer the foot. This comes from the novel version, which I think has way cooler feet, but we'll talk about that. And it's got some thrusters on the back of the legs at the bottom, too. At the very bottom. Finally, it's not even really a backpack. Just on the back of the torso, you've got, like, these two, basically, gill-like structure, like, these squares with a bunch of, like, vents of a, you know, thruster. And then, is that a thruster in the center of the back there? Like, does that open into a thruster? I can't remember if the kit does it.
I don't think it does, but I'll be honest, I mean,
Penelope
was a set it and forget it, because that kit likes to fall apart.
Yeah, no, it is, it is ambitious for what it is. Which, to be fair, I don't know if there's a lot of making this design stable in some ways. If you're going to have it be wearing the parts, even with 2 years later or 3 years later technology, I don't know if you would be able to make that the Penelope always like work super good. I'm gonna actually open up Schizophonic's review because I am curious if it does. Again, though, maybe it still does because that the high grade has some issues with that come with the whole time thing. Okay, also the high grade does do a thing that the art doesn't reveal. You can remove the shields, actually, and it just has these, like, but those are pegs, right? Those are obviously not even meant to be, like, details. I think those are meant to just be pegs. So I think you're supposed to always have the shields on.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in the art, and usually this art is not drawn with, like, the optional equipment. You know, it wasn't on the Cassie. It didn't have the rifle or the shield in the art, so. Anyway, I'm trying to look and see if the backpack opens up on this little guy. Nope, it does not. Okay. I just had to check. It's funny, I've thought about having this guy in the Odysseus mode sometimes just because the Odysseus mode works fine and still looks pretty cool, in my opinion. You know, it's a little plain, especially like with the like on the lower half, but... All right. Time to load this boy up now. All right, the Penelope. What we have added is a large, yeah. So it's like a weird dragon head almost that is added to like the top of the head. This is attached to the center of the torso.
The coloration is very much evoking, like, at least to me, like the coloration and like the way some of the things are poking up reminds me of the white base.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. The mohawk is, like, slotted into, like, a little gap there. And actually, there's a lot of clearance on the high grade for this. They did account for that, luckily. So you can actually, like, move the head on the high grade fairly well. Yeah, it's, like, a weird... It's, like... It's a white, like, point that has, like, a blue piece on the top, a yellow piece on the bottom, a little wing on the top that has these little red pieces attached. The side has this, like, yellow and red, like, little... I don't know how else to describe them, like little blisters sticking out of the sides.
So what some the fuck is on this? The back.
Remember how I mentioned like the chest is probably pointed for the doing the weird Minovsky flight shit? Same thing here.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Well, yeah. And specifically we know that when it's in the flight mode, it actually pushes the head down and this like kind of raises like this just is the nose cone. Because it does push its head down in the flight mode.
Fair enough, I guess.
Yep. For the chest, the rest of the chest armor is, we've added a whole set of things to the top of this that are kind of like the, like, sections of the Cassie's chest just all over the top of it, though, right? Like, it ends in a point, and it's got, like, little yellow wings on the side. It adds some extra cameras to the, collar. You got, like, these two little, which I guess makes sense, actually, because I guess because the head has to tuck away for the, main thing, you would add more cameras. Okay. That actually, thinking on that, that makes sense. I was disappointed because I was hoping that, like, the little black piece in the middle would have a mono eye, personally. I know that that's weird, but it's, like, it has, like, all this, like, black, like, you
it's know. Drawn as having one.
Oh, does it have a mono eye in there?
In the flight mode, look.
Let me check. That's another thing the kit doesn't do. Oh yeah, it does have a mono eye. Hell yeah, okay. Cool, it did the thing I actually hoped for. I don't remember, unfortunately it's dark in the film, so I didn't remember. And also the high grade doesn't do it. Because the high grade doesn't do that flight mode. Anyway, sorry, grumpy about that. Forever. Yeah, large, like, just upper chest piece that is just like a big thing ending in a point, and yeah, you have a mono eye in the middle, then that's fine. The shoulders, front Dorito, it is a bit more detailed than the one on the Cassie, mainly because it has, like, some extra splashes of color. You got, like, the blue piece at the base, and that's got, like, some yellow veins in it, like, thruster veins, and otherwise, mostly colored via the panel lining. This actually has, like, a top area as well, weirdly, like, so on the Cassie it doesn't really have like a thing in the middle between the you know, it's just got the shoulder in between, right? This actually has a top piece, and that top piece has a weird actually I'm trying to see, is that from the top piece or is that a piece that's sticking out of the middle actually on the base of the
sorry. I have to I have Hathaway open.
Yeah.
And I caught a shot of the mono eye, so I have to
mess
with the playback speed and get this picture for you.
Sorry, I was wrong. This part is attached to the rear shoulder, actually. Okay, I couldn't remember if it was on the middle or the rear. The rear just has parts that fold over the middle, is the thing, unlike the Cassie, which just kind of has a gap between. The back binder piece, though, has, like, a little outer part that sticks in the middle that's, like, adds to the, you know, middle of the shoulder. You got this, like, big yellow, like, thruster thing on the outside that's, like, a horn going up also. The other thing about the back of the... So the back of the shoulder armor, you kind of get these, like, big, deep, gray, like, little cuts in it. The main thing that this has detail on is actually on the inside, where you get these, like, really cool, Again, I keep saying gills, but it just feels like that, especially, like, in the film, like, when it's glowing. You get these, like, yellow gills on the inside, and I think it's cool. It's gonna look weird in the line art on the wiki, because it adds shadows to these for some reason. Even the parts on the outer part, it is not like those are a dark brown. Those are not actually dark brown. They are yellow, it's just for whatever reason they're shaded, like, on all sides in a way that doesn't make sense to me. Yo! Okay. Hell yeah. I'm still mad the kit can't do that, but I like that. That's pretty cool. Very mobile armory. Yeah, so the back shoulder, though, I love this, like, set of yellow, like, gill vents on the inside. And like I said, in the movie, they fucking glow and make, like, weird breathing noises and kind of, like, have a little bit of movement to them. Which it's is really good. Cool. Well, because you get the fucking scene where this thing is, like, zooming past in the city, and it does the this, like, nightmarish digital sound that you don't normally hear. Like, it's not, like, a Gundam stock sound. Actually, probably the thing I like about that film is it doesn't really use Gundam stock sounds. It uses, like, a lot of new sounds, and they're weird and, like, very much feel like they match the machines, though, in that they are, like, kind of unsettling.
One of the images I took here, which I'll have to post, but you can see that in that, like, dragon head that extends over, there is clearly the very top bit is a camera.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, it's like a little glass. The blue is like a glass piece, which they even made these clear on the kit, the front of it. Which, again, I don't know if also, though, they made it clear because they didn't decide what they were doing with it, because there's a lot of things on the kit that are wrong. Even though it's specifically supposed to be the film version. Alright.
Yeah.
So, moving on. The waist, piece, you get a huge front skirt piece added. You get this blue crotch piece that has a little bit of red at the top that's very hard to see because it is, you know, under everything. And then you get these two huge front skirts. Big Doritos, they also have some, little, hexagonal parts on the front and the sides. Big, like, veins, thruster veins, which weirdly are white rather than yellow, which is just strange because, like, a lot of the ones on this are yellow, much like the Cassie Gundam, but you would expect those would be yellow, huh?
Yeah.
No addition to the rear skirt, though, because, well, the rear skirt was already huge on the other one, so you get additional thrusters on the outer and back of the leg, on either side. They are just these big, like, rounded pointy bits that have a bunch of more of those, like, weird, you know, thrusters in them, the weird gilly ones that are, like, in the shoulders. There's more of those on the leg, and then the toe pops down, and it has foot extensions. It has a heel and a toe extension, which are just, like, you know, it's almost like standing on them. If you look at the way it's attached on the back heel, like, it's just, like, got these big attachments to make the footprint larger. Finally, last edition of this armor is the backpack. It now has this big wing on the center back that can move up and down, and then you've got
big.
And then you have, well, that's the smaller one, and then you have two thrusters, and then you have another wing that is going straight out the back with, like, a lot of red and white on it.
I was talking about the bigger wing.
Yeah, it's got two fucking wings, and yes, this is the thing that is huge on the model kit, because it extends, right? Like, in the art here, mm-hmm. when you're looking at the rear, this is it as pushed in as possible, but it extends, so this actually goes out quite a bit. This is actually the thing that makes trying to pose and figure out the model a bit of a pain, is because of how big this rear thing is. It has a lot of movement, which is nice, you know, like, for getting it, like, out of the way, but it's just a lot.
I also want to clarify something here. We commented earlier on the... Sorry, I still have the movie just going silently and slow. We commented earlier that the shield on the Xi was good enough to take a hit from the Penelope and, you know, stop anything from going through, even though it was destroyed. It's not destroyed. It's fine.
Oh, is it fine after that? Okay, I do know it has, like,
it looks
a
little
effect.
Scorched, but that's it.
Damn. Okay, good shields then.
Yeah.
Couldn't remember. I haven't watched that film since... It's been a while, actually. I should rewatch it. It's a good movie. I just don't want to rewatch it because it'll make me too excited for movies that aren't going to be out for fucking years. This design is much more of a mess than the Cassie in a lot of ways. Intentionally, mm-hmm. though, right? It's not like it's unintentional. Because the whole idea with this is us trying to figure out, how do we put a Minovsky flight unit on a unit? Well, what we have to do is we have to put a bunch of parts on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll all have thrusters, and they have to have bigger thrusters. You know, it's a very inelegant solution for this. It works, clearly, because here's the thing. While it does lose the fight with the Cassie, it's not like a machine that is completely outshined by the Cassie, right? Like, it...
No.
It works, it's just, you know... this is... the Penelope unit, the Penelope fixed flight unit on the outside, though, is... Yeah, it's clumsy solution. We know the funnel missiles are in the shoulders as well as in the waist for this. Doesn't use them in the film yet. Funnel missiles have not been used yet. But, yeah. In the film, it has a beam rifle. Pretty neat looking beam rifle, in my opinion. Let me pull up a picture of it from Schizophonic, because I don't think the wiki has a picture of it, actually, from the film. It probably does in a screen cap, but... I will say, I do like that they modeled the funnel missiles. You can see them on the flight pack also, like, on the insides of the skirt and the shoulders. Like, it actually has, like, the little missiles modeled in, which is nice. Uh-huh. Because normally it's so hard to see all the fucking details on this thing. Here, I'll link that real quick to you. So here's, like, the flight unit in its, like, separated flight mode, because it also has a separated flight mode wherein it's just, like, a weird fucked up mobile armor dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention the beam sabers. The beam sabers are on the rear of the shoulder, and they are on, like, pivots, so, again, they can be, like, you know, moved around and fired as cannons and all that. Trying to see. Here it is. Honestly, even in some ways, to the Cassie, an even more futuristic-looking beam rifle. It feels very F-91 to me, especially the colors, like having the blue and red on the rifle like that.
The colors I definitely see. I don't feel like this, like, the sweeping forward bits is a kind of aesthetic that F-91 plays with very much.
You know what, that's fair. I think it's more just, like, the roundedness of, like, the squares on it, though, like, for the barrel and such. Mm-hmm. That felt like that to me, but I see what you mean. Cool rifle, nevertheless.
It is part of, like, not my problem, but sort of one of the things that is interesting. Like, it's interesting to think about with these later UC shows how much they're considering. Like, okay, let me put it this way. I think Gundam, first Gundam, to Zeta, to Double Zeta, and especially Zeta to Double Zeta, you can see the design transition in a way that feels very thoughtful to me, right? Where you can see, like, oh, I see, this is how the technology is progressing and how trends are changing. Once you get to late UC, even if you disclude, like, you know, Unicorn and Narrative, the logic kind of breaks down to me. I can kind of see how CCA gets to Hathaway. I can't see how Hathaway gets to F-91 and Victory. I don't see it.
Yeah, which, to be fair, these are before F-91 and Victory. I'm sure Tamino wasn't even thinking about it either, you know?
Sure.
But, yeah, the... So, the Penelope, you, okay, so there's the, there's two different flight mode arts. The one on the wiki at the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has its legs bent at the knee in a way that they are bent in reverse. And I think this is pretty cool looking. I am angry that the kit cannot do this at all. Because the thing is, when the legs are folded forward like this, the toes bend, you know, like the cassis, and the, now, because of the way the, shapes are for, like, the flight units, it's almost like it has giant claws. It makes it look more like a weird fucked up dragon mobile armor. And I hate that the kit cannot do this. Now, the other flight mode is used in the movie. When it's in the city, it does use this flight mode. And the model kit can do that one, right? That one's a simple one, because it just folds the legs back. I just am really sad that it cannot do the dragon thing, though. You know?
I
would have it in that dragon mode, if I
could. I think of it as being like a hawk, honestly.
I guess a hawk, like a swooping would also hawk. Work, yeah.
Because they do this thing where they swoop down and then they put their wings out to the side and curve them forward a bit to kind of like slow down as they're diving so they don't just hit the ground full speed. It feels very much like that. And I think, yeah, it looks great. It is way cooler than just the cruising mode that the model can do.
The thing I love in the film also is it's moving like a fucking shmup thing here where it's like flying like in a straight line but occasionally doing barrel rolls while it looks like this. And it's real cool.
Parts of it where it moves almost like double O-y, where it's like rolling around attacks in ways that just looks very like...
Yeah, which I guess that's what a flight unit does, right? Is does the double O thing.
The Minovsky craft, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Minovsky flight.
Yeah. It basically, because it allows you to defy gravity, like, very directly, which is what, you know, GN particles let you do.
Yeah. Sick.
So, the thing that I mentioned, though, real quick, before we move on to the novel version of this, is the manual for the kit also mentions the Argos unit. We don't know what this is. It might be an optional flight mode, because, you know, Penelope is the one, not flight mode, flight pack. Who knows, though? No one knows. It's something completely new.
It already has a flight pack.
Yeah, what if it has a different one? What if it has a... Well, because it got fucked up in the movie.
If that's possible, if I had to guess, I would... You know, maybe it is something like... If your current thing is like... I don't know. I it's hard to make a comparison as to what the Penelope is to the Odysseus for the rest of Gundam, right? Because I don't think calling it like your Dendrobium is accurate, right?
Yeah, but who knows what they're gonna do with the movies? That's the thing. And again, it's just
right.
The main issue with it is just that they don't say what it is. They're just like, it also has the Argos unit, and it's like, what is that?
Yeah. I don't know, maybe, I wonder if maybe Argos is going to be more like an ale striker, like more lightweight.
Okay. Let me see how it's actually worded in the manual, too, because I can't remember the exact wording. But I realized, right, Dalong has scans of that manual, and that manual's in English, duh, because that's post-IBO. And IBO's, like, in the middle of IBO, I believe, is when they start having the manuals have English. So I'm going to pull that up real quick. Again, that kit came out, though, and it's very funny how early that came out relative to the actual, like, movie coming out. Because that kit came out in October of 2019. When did Hathaway the film come out? I believe it was 2021, right?
I think that's right.
Double check, though. Yeah. So Gundam Hathaway comes out in, 2021, and it comes out June of 2021. Literally almost 2 years before the film came out. Oh, the other reason I feel like the Argos unit might be related to altering the flight pack? Runner switches. And then people argued with me on Twitter at the time, oh no, those runner switches are for the Cassie Gundam, because the Cassie Gundam and the Penelope share... No, they fucking don't in this case, motherfuckers! I was right, vindicated by history! Sorry. Anyway.
I would hate to be disagree with you and then be proven wrong, because you act like a little turd about it.
Wow. I'm playing
you did
it
a
up
dopey
for
voice for people. You did a dopey voice. That's mean.
I am playing it up because we are on a show for the comedy, okay?
Okay, but you can play up. You can play up your reaction with other people on the show, but playing up how stupid people who are not on the show and can't talk back are is mean.
Look.
I would never do that.
Look, someone got in a very heated argument with me where they literally messaged me for like 3 days about this, and I got very frustrated by it, so.
You know what? Mea culpa. You were right.
Yeah,
do
no,
the voice
I,
again.
I got... Look, I'm sorry. For someone to DM me and just tell me you're so wrong about this, and not only that, but carry on the argument for 3 days, is going to make me a little bit bitter, to be fair.
Yeah.
Even if I'm playing it up. Anyway, fun fact, though, the Cassie also has a bunch of runner switches, which is interesting to me. And specifically, it's on some of the parts that are, I feel like you would change out for making it look like the, you know, more like the G-Gen version, like, for, like, the shield and stuff. Well, because the shield has more color separation on the G-Gen version. And such,
right, yeah.
So, it would probably be easier to just do a whole new, yeah, just do a whole new shield part. We'll see, though. We'll see. Who knows? Because the films are still probably an idea. I don't even know if they have production on them yet. Who knows?
I mean, they've promised us that there will be more Gigi fan service, so that's something.
Anyway. Anyway, I'm sorry. This is... Also, to be fair, the reason I was also mean about this, this was like 4 years ago. I'm sure it doesn't matter to the person anymore. I just remember it because I remember when people are mean to me in my DMs. Because I'm a frail... For all that you would have me seem like I am I am being aggro, I'm actually a frail little person, and someone yells at me in a DM, and I just remember it because I'll forever... Especially if I was wrong about something, I will forever hold it against me. I'm brain broken that way. Anyway. Alright. Yeah. So, the novel version of this. I think the novel version is way fucking cooler than the anime version. The novel Penelope is organic in ways that are really unique. So, additional things that are different, like, you know, obviously I'm hoping that you following along at home will just also be looking at this, because we've already gone for an hour and 30 on only two mobile suits. I mean, it's easy to do so, because there's so many versions, but, and also just a lot to talk about with them. So, like, the head design and, like, the dragon back thing is similar, and the chest is similar, though one additional thing the chest has is it has Gundam style chest vents, like gigantic ones under either side of the flight unit on the chest, which looks pretty cool.
I also think that the end of the nose looks a lot more like smooth, like there's a very like mechanical like angle and like separation to the mono eye track on the film version that is not there.
Yeah, it's more rounded and organic going on here. With, like, the gaps in the armor there. The shoulders are simplified. They are not, like, the front and back sandwich in quite the same way. It almost looks like they're just whole, like, one, you know, the shoulder is, like, one piece over the arm. There's not, like, a distinction of the front and back in the same way. Does still have, like, those gill pieces on the inside. Upper arm, you have this, like, wing on the bicep, which is different. It just has, like, this weird little outer wing on the bicep. And then the shields on the arms are way more rounded. The skirts are pretty similar, though, again, more organic in shape. That's kind of the thing with this whole design, though. The crotch is very different. You've got, like, this weird rounded crotch that has, like, these thrusters on the sides of it, the base. Mm-hmm. Very big thighs. It's hard to see them because they're covered, but it does have very meaty thighs from what you can see the little bit there. Where this really changes, though, is the legs, and I love the legs on this version. So, instead of just having the side and back thrusters, it also has a bit of armor over the front, like this really big point of armor. And the other thing is the feet. Instead of being normal Gundam feet, this has, like, almost Nightingale-esque, like, claw feet. With, like, very thin front toes, and thin parts on the side. The only vestige of this remaining on the modern design is that, like, little fold-down toe.
The fold-down toe looks like shit, frankly. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the design is just much more mechanical. This design is not really mechanical, which Mariki kind of does have designs that just don't feel mechanical. Would you believe that Mariki went on to be a prominent monster designer for toku shows?
Sure.
Besides his
sure,
mecha
makes
work.
Sense.
Yeah, it just, you look at this and it's like, oh, I can see that. Other kind of interesting thing about the Penelope is the Mariki illustration for it, it doesn't really have the blue. It also drops the blue. His design for it here, that he has colored, almost has new Gundam colors.
Yeah, huh.
Yeah, which actually looks pretty good also, I think. I kind of dig it. And the shields on his design are also just, I mentioned that they were smoother. They're also way smaller.
I also like there's that chest protrusion part has red stripes on it, and the overall effect is it makes it look like the fuselage of a fighter jet in a way that I really like.
I also really like the way he draws the cheek vents, because in the film they're just kind of like more flat detailed. They have a bunch of like little sections on this, though. Also, the V-fin is much taller on his version.
Well, and like even so,
it's also not a double V-fin. Actually, it's just one.
Well, the color art doesn't match his sketch for the V-fin.
Oh, I guess it
the V-fin on the novel is just straight up protrusions. This is like protrusions that then have like a bend in them, like a very distinct bend that almost makes them look like IBO-ish. I think it looks great, but.
Yeah, it looks really cool. And then you have the shadow of the Kasee Gundam behind it there, which is kind of neat. But yeah, and it also has
you're right, this looks terrific.
Yeah. Oh, also has the Vulcans on the, if you look at the base of the, flight unit on the back, like the nose, it has the quad Vulcans on the nose, which are omitted in the modern design. Also has some extra cameras on the sides of the, thing, like little blue cameras.
It also has Kasee Gundam like face.
Yeah,
like it has the big small, green eyes.
Yeah, big green eyes and smaller. Well, you know what I'm wondering also for the film, if I'm being honest, I wonder if they're gonna invert the looks of them. Oh, the Kasee starts off looking really weird and strange, and then the Penelope starts off looking like a weird mechanical dragon, and then as the movies go on. When they're repairing the Kasee, by the third movie, is it going to look more mechanical, and is the Penelope going to look more, like, you know, organic and monstrous? Who knows? Hmm. That just feels like a thematic through line that you can do to me.
Sure.
But.
I see that.
I love the Mariki illustration for this unit. That's why I was so disappointed by the film. It's why I was worried about what the Kasee would look like in the film, because they picked, like, the most boring version of doing the Penelope for the film, and I was really thinking, oh, the Kasee is... I don't even care about the Kasee as much as the Penelope, so I'm really not going to like the Kasee in this. And then they revealed it, and I was like, oh shit, I love it. I think Mariki does the best version of the Penelope by and far, though. Like, it just... Especially that color art, it's just so good looking to me. Then you have the G-Gen version. Now, the G-Gen version is interesting to me because while it does make it more mechanical, it actually does keep more from the novel than you would expect. In certain places, like, for instance, it has, like, the more kind of, like, how do I word it? The extra toe on the foot, it doesn't keep the full, like, four-toed feet. But, like, if you look at the heel and, like, the side thing is smaller and still not quite as mechanical as, like, as the movie design. And the heel is, like, extended in a weird way.
Especially the heel into the ankle guard there looks almost, like, it reminds me of, like, Escaflowne, just that tiny bit.
Yeah.
Of that kind of mecha design.
Yeah, it's still, he is definitely, this is where, like, the modern design comes out of, is definitely, like, this. Well, more so than this, it comes out of the GFF, obviously, because Kotoki, but... So the G-Gen design here is pretty similar to the movie design, just with some bits that are a bit more toned down. And I think that I like Fujita's proportions a bit more, because he still doesn't make it look as mechanical. It looks more... Kotoki has a way of drawing things that, I mean, with good reason, Kotoki looks like just modern blasé Gundam art. The problem is, that's because... That's what they make him do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Other interesting note, though, and I wonder if this was intended or not, this is the more proper old colors of the Penelope. The version that is on the wiki, like, with all the extra shading is actually, the version from, the fact file, or Gundam Perfect file, which, much like, all the De Agostini books, kind of updates the colors. You can see in your old color version of it, though, I wonder if the face is meant to be blue. On his.
That's an interesting question, yeah.
Well, because it's given the, and same with, like, the forehead, I don't think that's just shading, though. Because the part of the chin underneath that is wrapped around is not shading.
I don't think the face is supposed to be shading, but the top of the head looks like it is.
You say that, but there is a distinct shadow on the top of the head, isn't there? Like, if you look at the middle.
There is a distinct shadow, but there's also, like, the gem and the material right next to it are the exact same shade, that they've been colored with the same color.
Yeah. It's weird. It's just, it's very strange looking, which, again, it's more sketchy because, to be fair, this is concept art for a video game, and they're not even going to make it look like the way his unit looks in the video game, you know, because it's an SD yeah. game. So, while I'm sure he worked hard, I'm not saying he didn't work hard on it. It's just, you know, there's a level of detail, though, where you're like, okay, I'm drawing this for a concept art for a game, you know, that they are going to simplify.
I do think it's like action pose image from Super Gundam Royale. Is very funny if you see down there in the game part of the gallery. It's the one where it has the hand out in the funnel shooting because the mono eye on the chest looks very sad.
Yeah, I do like that it has the mono eye on.
It's like, oh.
We also have images from Fujita of the Odysseus, which, you know, again, a bit more squat, but pretty similar to the final Odysseus. It's got a couple of extra little details, like the skirts are a bit more detailed. Interesting thing, he actually brings up that the arms can extend, which I think is cool. Like, I think that's where they get it on the modern design, as you can see. And actually, I love the way the joint is drawn on his art here, where he's got, like, the triple arm thing going on. Like, it's got two arms on the inside and then one arm in the middle. Like, you know, like, just extendable piston-looking parts. It looks cool. I do like that. And the main thing that I like that Fujita added to all these designs, I like the hexagons, but that's because I like hexagons, so.
Sure. I think not only do I like your theory, I think I agree with your theory that the design in whether it's immediately in movie 2 or it's movie 3, the Penelope is going to come back with more, like, some elements more like the original design that are better integrated. I think especially the feet. Like, there's no way they didn't know how clunky the foot strut looks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Also, we get, like, you can see the missiles in the weapon container here, by the way. Since this is basically the same as the film one in design, you can see that, you can see them open in the lower right there, which is kind of cool. Just little, like, micro-missiles in there. And then, yeah, the mega-particle gun on the front, and then the beam saber on the back. And of course it mentions that the beam saber can also fire a mega particle gun. So.
Sure.
I also like that the beam saber seems to almost have, like, a weird, like, it has a weird shape on this design, which is really neat. Like, it's got this, like, weird, like, this weird little, like, bit that's sticking out a little bit. Like, almost like a camera that you would have on the grip. It's strange. It pops out, but it looks cool. I like Fujita's art. He's also the one who, I believe, is the one that drew the Penelope, this is Penelope Transform, this is not the Transform Penelope, this is, the flight unit on its own.
Gotcha.
Yeah, this is just the flight unit. But I believe he's the one that came up with, hey, what if the flight unit, when not docked to the Penelope, could in fact be, like, launched as its own, like, weird little vehicle. Yeah, I don't know why this says Penelope Design Yasuhiro Moriki here, because I'm pretty sure this is Fujita still. Now I have to check. MHQ. Penelope. Because, yeah, I am pretty sure. Damn it, of course it brings up the anime one first, which makes sense, to be fair. Because that's the one people are going to be looking up these days. Let me see. SD Gundam G Generation. Maybe it wasn't. always seen Fujita credited for the Kasee Gundam for G-Gen, right? I'm not saying
the Kasee or Penelope.
I've always seen him for the Kasee. I assumed he did the Penelope also, but now I don't know. I'm trying to see. Because yeah, I can find the Kasee credit for the Kazumi Fujita, but I'm not finding it actually for the Penelope. Interesting. I wonder if I'm looking up real quick. Fujita, Kazumi, Penelope. Okay, there are people in, like, 2012, and, okay, there are a lot of people saying it is, so I don't feel as bad about it. It's just interesting that, I realized that the MHQ didn't list it, so I was, like, starting to have, like, doubts in my head. But, I'm seeing, like, posts where people are like, yeah, the SD Gundam G-Gen designer, Kazumi Fujita, redesigned the Mariki designs. I'm seeing other people mention that. Oh, wait, actually, funnily enough, 2013, from Mark Simmons. This is me. Mariki redesigned the Kasee and Penelope for G-Gen. Kazumi Fujita only redesigned the Gustav Karl and the Messer, according to Mark Simmons. And apparently, for a long time, a lot of websites, including even MHQ, actually had Fujita listed as the redesigner. So Chris has corrected that, though, because I was going to say, it doesn't say Fujita's name on the Kasee or the Penelope on the, on MHQ anymore. So it did in the past, though. Okay, so I'm not entirely off base. Yeah, no, that's, apparently these are still Mariki designs, never mind. Okay, so Mariki did both versions of the Penelope and the Kasee there. I didn't know that. Well... That is a long-held belief I had, which, to be fair, like I said, most websites did mention that, and even, like, people on, like, Reddit to this day mentioned Fujita. I guess it's because Fujita did the Gustav Karl and the Messer that I, you know. It's funny, though, because I will say it does not look like Moriki's art anymore in the 90s, does it?
No, not as much. I mean, I guess I don't, like, it doesn't look like... It doesn't look to me like the same artist that did the previous ones, but I don't, like, know Mariki as an artist, so.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, he still does those shadows to this day, like, those harsh, like, shadows and, like, the shading. It's just the shading on the G-Gen versions doesn't feel the same to me, you know?
Sure.
Interesting. Okay. Well, anyway. That is me learning a lesson today, which is just because something said it for a decade doesn't actually make it true. Especially within Gundam.
I said I was straight for a decade, and yet, here we are.
I was simply straight, but I also like people from both genders. That's fine. That's normal, right? That is a normal straight person thing to do. Much like how I hate being a boy, but also I'm definitely not like trans, right? Because that's just not what I am. I just hate the, you know, I hate gender stuff, and I don't like things. You know, and thinking about gender, and anyway, I'm glad we both have a similar thing there.
That's in every other queer person, basically.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, that's, you know what, that's fair. Look, people don't talk about it as much, but yeah, no, sure. It is just the thing of, yeah, I am just straight with many, many, many exceptions was my, belief through, like, 2017. anyway, but, yes, the Penelope, yeah, then you get the GFF version. It's not in the line art on the top of the wiki, but I'm pretty sure... Yeah, here we are. There is...
It's in the gallery, yeah.
Yeah, very small art, unfortunately. Again, Kotoki kind of normalizes a lot of elements of the design still, which is what he was meant to do, but I just don't really like it as much. I do think the decals help it a bit. I do think the little, like, Kotoki-style decals are neat. But, you know... Not my favorite version of the Penelope. Still think the original novel version and the original Mariki, like, color art there is the coolest the Penelope has ever been.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, well, in the future, hopefully the Argo unit, or what was it? Was it Argo or Argus? I can't remember.
Argos, like the dog.
Argos. I combined it. The Argos.
You combined unit. It, which is a word for getting it wrong.
No, I was just saying, I said Argus and then Argo, which... it's like, if you combine those, then that becomes Argos. Kind of. Look, I don't know. I'm tired.
Two wrongs make a right.
No, I'm not saying that. Wow. You're like, oh, Dylan, you're so mean all the time. I make verbs, verbal slippage, and then you're like, ah.
Yeah. I mean all the time. I have never been like, I'm America's sweetheart. That's not me. I'm an asshole.
What is America's sweetheart?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. You know, just like...
I just have never heard that. I have heard... No, I have heard that. What I mean is I just don't know what it means, like the origin.
I don't know what the origin is, but it is kind of a genericism.
Well, the origin is Yaz's retelling of Mobile. Alright. Well, it's kind of petered out because of all the weirdness of having to look shit up. We basically got everything done. I just need to get that artist credit sorted out.
Yeah.
Put a note in the episode description. I realize how wrong I am about the artist halfway through the episode. Before someone writes in upon hearing the Cassis section, oh, actually.
I will try and remember to make a note.
I say that, you know what, I don't think anyone's going to correct it, like that or soon. I don't think anyone's going to go, oh, I need to correct, because to be fair, this is not a widely talked about thing, because it took me a while to find an English thing of that, and it's nested in a 2013 post on the MAHQ forums. Everyone else is like, yeah, Fujita did the game redesign. So, you know, fair enough. I don't know if anyone's going to have the ability to even correct us on that anyway. Before I correct myself there. Oh, actually, funny thing. The wiki is also wrong about this too, because take a look at this image. Kazumi Fujita redesign in the middle.
Yeah, don't say that.
Yeah, so, okay. Everything's wrong. Six, where can people find you on the internet? Any plugs or anything?
We have a couple of questions, but I'm gonna have them wait a bit because I want to do.
Yeah,
a little
this
more
is a
prep
spoiler
them.
Episode by all technical accounts, so we should do them on a normal one.
There's also that. You can find me on Twitter and co-host at @6detmar @6detmar. Feel free to email me your questions, comments, or listener requests, or anything else. Or DM me, also. I said email. I didn't give you my email. You can also find my work at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Dylan, what about you?
You can find me at LowPolyRobot on Twitter, on co-host, on Blue Sky. I've not posted on Blue Sky in over a month, but I may as well still throw it out there, just in case co-host collapses and Twitter collapses. Look, I just throw it all out there. Anyway, you can find that, and that's it for me.
Well, until next time, folks. Lane Aim, an honorable man.
Lane Aim, an honorable man. I mean, he does do an honorable thing, to be fair. He does
honor does not preclude stupidity.
No, not at all.
Arrogance.
I love that he specifically does the thing of, hey, I don't like having this hostage. Here, you can have the hostage. And then the Gustav Karls just starts shooting at the Cassie afterwards, and he starts trying to block the shots using the Penelope, which is like, imagine being the Gustav Karls soldiers watching, like, the big terrorist enemy, like, have himself open, and then your big Gundam boy is just like, no! Not yet!
And then... Well, and then also, imagine Lane Aim, like, debriefing with Kenneth. You've done all this stuff on the assumption that you will win. And Kenneth comes in and he goes, so let me get this straight. You're like, oh.
I love Lane Aim. He's so stupid, but complimentary in a way. I love him. He's so dumb. All right. Peace.
Peace.